Mr. Bell, Commissioner,
that's gonna be.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will serve as the lead for your hearing, so just hang on, sir.
Okay, thank you, guys.
And Mr. Neal, he has some support, but I never did get that sheet back from him. He'll keep it, because he does have support, so that's what I showed this morning. How many of you support Mr. Neal? You have two back there, Mr. Neal.
But also, I'm not sure if this letter is, where he needs to call somebody or they're here speaking.
Yeah, what's the letter?
Yeah. I like the Karina Jimenez, Ms. Padilla, and.
She's here.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so do both of you wish to speak, Brenda?
I do.
Okay, when I go through the process of swearing everybody in, we'll include you in that.
Okay.
All right, now we have to continue down the way. Okay, sir, would you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Johnny Dela Cruz, DOC number 229719.
Thank you, sir. Your prayer for the order of bill, you gave me clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision application. I'm an individual board member that will conduct your hearing at this time. To my right, far right, Honorable Michael Johnson. To his left is the Honorable Gerald Rittenhouse, and to her left is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. My name is David Neal, I'll be the hearing lead. And also.
Yeah, how's that doing?
Good, Neal.
I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, also in the room, we have Mr. Grady from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification for advisement of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, I do.
Well, the other form you know that you'd like to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain the right of attorney as your own spirit. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I will be representing myself.
All right, at this time, I'm the swearing. You, Mr. Grady, and your support in. So, you can offer me your solemn swear to tell the truth, hope you've done about the truth, so help you God, or do so affirm. Mr. Dela Cruz?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Grady?
I do.
Okay, you're going to be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, will determine if terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. When phase two will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the three allegations that are under warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. Okay?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Allegation number one, violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number 7 is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on about April 16, 2018, with a past individual testing compliant summary dated May 7, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, allegation number two is violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about April 17, 2018, for the past GCMS lab report dated May 9, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
So now allegation number three, for the violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 4418 North 53rd Lane number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, on about April 19, 2018, without prior approval of your assigned court officer. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were scheduled from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
Well, see, at the time, I take psychological meds. I wasn't really aware of I wasn't aware of my surroundings. I wasn't able to comprehend that. I have mental health issues.
Okay,
I'm trying to get copies.
Sir?
Yes.
Okay, in phase two, you'll have ample time to explain the why.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
So the allegation is that you left that address without and were gone and you didn't have permission. Is that true?
Okay, yes, that's true. I'm aware of it now, yes.
Okay. Well, please do have ample time to explain the why.
Okay, thank you, sir.
That's fine. Based on the reason of Mr. Moon violated terms and conditions of supervision, and that he may have lapsed in the criminal ways for company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Burns, and moved by Dr. White, moved by Mr. Burns. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of the morning, but before we do, Mr. Brady's going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Brady.
Mr. Doug Coons was released from the LC on December 1st of 2017. He was arrested on July 3rd of 2018 by Phoenix PD. He has no new charges. He returned back to the LC on July 3rd of 2018 to the CSED of July 3rd of 2019 to reflect 75 abscond days. Current convictions, 2008, death and means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. 2008, death and means of transportation, 11 years, 3 months. 2008, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2008, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year. There's no prior convictions. There's one term of DOC. The CUIR scores of 44, mental health scores of 3, substance abuse scores of 2. Gang information is affiliated as a member of the prison gang, Arizona, New Mexican Mafia. No prior criminal supervision. Disciplinary violation of motto with drugs, violence, and staff assaults. Noted. Community risk score is a G5V6.
Thanks, sir. So, Mr. Coons, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision. So it seems that on December 1st, 2017, you were released homeless. The name of the proof resided at 3122 East Sierra Street in Phoenix, Arizona. And on January 2nd, 2018, you were approved to reside at 4418 over 53rd Lane number 1 in Phoenix. And no other residents were approved. So when you left that address, where did you go?
I was just hanging, living in the parks. I was homeless, going to homeless shelters. I didn't know where to go. My mental state was deteriorating because I wasn't no longer taking my meds. I tried to get copies of my medical records, and here I'm officially diagnosed with paranoia, schizophrenia, anxiety, and depression. I couldn't comprehend. My mental health state of mind just deteriorated. I'm now back on my meds. I take them every day. I need them. I'm able to comprehend, and now I know what's going on. I wasn't really aware of what that I absconded or whatnot.
Okay. So, were you working in all while you were out, sir?
The last month, yes, I started working with my cousin doing landscaping.
Okay, so then you say the last month you were out, you did that?
Yeah, the last month I was out, I started working with my cousin doing landscaping.
Okay, so that brings up a question to me then. If you were off your meds and you couldn't comprehend what you were doing, especially well enough to stay at the address you were supposed to be staying at, how could you comprehend how to do a job like landscaping?
Well, I didn't know how. He was teaching me, to tell you the truth. I still was in the learning process. He was teaching me as we went on. He would teach me how to, I learned a few things from him. He was teaching me, he would show me, and I was able.
Was he leading you to and from wherever you were staying at the time when you were working with him, or were you figuring that out yourself?
No, he was giving me rides back and forth from the homeless shelter and whatnot, or the parks. But he was trying to help me out because he seen how where I was going with my mental health state and me off of my meds. He was doing everything in his power to help me get right. Not only that, my fiance, she's pregnant right now. She's doing a day. He was helping me, literally helping me. And I just couldn't really come to the comprehension of getting back on my meds. I had to get out there what I will do if I really stay, I gotta seek psychological help so I can get back on my meds and continue taking them when I get out.
Okay. Well, when did you stop taking your meds for your mental health?
I stopped taking them when me and my fiance, we had a brief spill when I moved, when you said January 22nd. I stopped taking them. I became so depressed. I even made an attempt on my life. I took 61 sleeping pills, and
okay,
obviously I'm still here.
Right, so you shipped taking your mail to January?
Yeah, January 22nd, when me and my fiance split up and I relocated addresses, I just went in depression mode because I was just so depressed and my psychosis kicking into overdrive as well, and I made a 10 on my life. I took 61 sleeping pills and I thank the Lord I'm still here. It wasn't my time.
Okay, so with that then, you were referred to the CHC for career criminal classes. I was failed to complete that counseling. And then you referred to task for random analysis, and you're coming COVID away, and it looks like you were responsible for 10 drops, and I only see 2 names out of 10, and then I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Half of them you didn't drop anything. But I see the Sunday ones when you had another drop, like on the 16th of April, the 17th of April when you didn't drop, but you were probably for meth. December 26th, you didn't drop one, but on the 29th, 3 days later, it was negative. So you see, we have the problems with your mental health drugs, marijuana, and methamphetamine. All of them rolled up in one.
I'm not gonna lie. I'll be completely honest. I tried the drugs to try to see if I can cope with my mental health state. Even though now I know I should just seek psychological help, which my peer referred me to, Ramal Radigan. He just gave me a number to call, but I was just so depressed over everything and just life in general. Because, I got locked up at 18 years old and I got released when I was 29. I didn't know how to live out there. I've never experienced life as a grown man and as an adult to where I got responsibilities as far as rent, bills, a job. I didn't know how. I've never did that before I went in. I did 10 straight years. And yeah, I do have all the violations as far as prison goes, but my last 3 to 4 years of prison, I had no write-ups, no tickets, no violence, no nothing. I started to go clean, and I left, I believe you mentioned the associated with the mafia, I left that alone as well. We call it in here, renounced. That's where I am right now, at this prison.
Okay. I'm going to see if my fellow members have any questions. No questions? Okay, sir, at this point, we don't have any further questions for you. At this point, I'm going to call up your supporter and let her speak to us. Would you come up to the podium, please, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
State your name and then tell us what you'd like.
Okay, hello. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Veda Padilla, mother of Mr. Del Cruz. I just want to start by asking him to give him a second chance and opportunity in life. I feel the first time he was released after 10 years, he was a kid when he was in there. I mean, and he lost his role model. His dad passed away that year he went in there in 2008. So 10 years, and then he comes out, and he's gonna run wild. Like he explained to you, he didn't know how to comprehend with all this. And then mental health issue, I didn't know he had a lot of that. And to tell you, and then he's gonna have a child. You know, when he was released, he should have been released to a halfway house, just so they can give him structure, and set his goals. Tell him what to do. Because being released, otherwise, he's not gonna really abide by their decisions. But I think that was the best thing. He should have been released. And I just ask you, just please give him another chance. I'll take responsibility for him. And he'll get back on his medication, which he knows now. He's back on there, but you should have seen him a month ago. And now he's really, and he has a child. It's his first child, my first grandchild. Just please give him an opportunity. I beg you guys. That's all I have to say. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. In a couple of minutes, the board will go into discussion to make a determination. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you might think would be important to our decision, but we ask that you don't repeat the information we've already discussed, and if that's a time management issue, okay?
Okay. I'm just here, I'm asking you guys to please forgive me, give me one last chance. My fiance, she's due any day, I just want to be there, the father that my father passed away, as you know, I just want to be there and provide for him as well as my fiance, be there for her at the afterbirth. I don't want her to have to take care of our son alone, I want to be there to help as well, because I lost my dad, as you guys heard, I lost him, and I lost him. My mentality, state of mind is, I need my meds in order to cope with everything. If I don't take them, I'm dumbfounded. It, you know, for lack of better words, I'm dumbfounded. I don't know how to do just life in general. But now that I'm on my meds, I'm able to comprehend more or less everything that goes on around me. Just please, I ask you, just give me one more chance, and I will show you guys that I can do right, be the father that I need to be the son to my mother after she lost her husband. I just beg you guys, please, one more chance. That's all I need. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have something else? Would you like to go ahead and get one? Okay. Because you changed your mind, that's what you mean. Can you just state your name?
Karina Jimenez.
Okay, you saw me before, tell truth, whole truth, not the truth. So help you God, or be so firm?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Karina, I'm Johnny's fiance, and I'm here just on his behalf. Johnny is not a bad person. Everybody has their failing at one point in life. I know I did. I'm sure you guys did as well. No one's perfect. Johnny, I know what he's capable of, and Johnny is not, he's not a failure. He just needs to structure. And with me and his mom being there, you know, as his, not only as his guidance, but as his supporters, just throughout through anything Johnny is capable of being who he wants to be. When he first came out, he was working with a company for about a month and a half, 2 months. He was doing really good. He was helping me with my bills, getting prepared for the baby. So that's something I know he is capable of doing. And he was just on a mission with that. He was really excited. And now that I'm at where I'm at now, I need help. I really do. I have a mortgage. I need to pay. I mean, I'm only working like part-time. 3 hours like every other day, and it's really, really hard. So I do need his support, I do need his help. Then with the baby coming, I'm definitely gonna need his help and support, and his financial wise as well. So I'm asking you guys to find it in your heart to please release him to me, because I just need him. I'm a single mother myself without him. I mean, this is his first baby. I have 3 other kids at home. So it's really hard for me to do it by myself, especially as well as after. So I would really need him to come out.
Okay. Any questions for the board? Okay, thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Villacruz, we'll be going into discussion now, making a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be, so we ask that you remain silent, but stay on the phone, and you can hear the whole conversation, and I'll get back with you once we make a determination, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, we'll
thank
be
you.
On the discussion. Well, this is another one of the unfortunate ones. Mr. Villacruz has got some responsibilities. He says he wants to go out and take care of them. But I have a little problem with the mental health issues, because if you stop taking the meds, he seems to lose his compass. But that's also a little troubling when he goes and he locks his compass to the point he couldn't figure out what the address he was at. But he went out. And even if you're just learning landscaping, it takes some mental concentration, pay attention, and not, you know, cut down the tree instead of trimming the branches. And it take less mental acuity to stay at your residence. But I'm trouble with the revenue system and stop taking his mental health meds and turn to marijuana and methamphetamine and it, and I think we need to have a much better plan for how he's going to get some rehab and everything. And so at this point in time, I don't see he's a good candidate for return to community supervision. But I want to listen to discussion from many of our board members. Okay, well, based on all the information in Ward Number 201W1379, the testimony of Mr. Del Cruz and the information from the Department of Corrections, Mr. Brady, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Del Cruz. I see the delinquent violated term conditional supervision and have lapsed or not lapsed in the criminal ways of company very specifically use of drugs. Is that my motion?
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson, by Dr. Wright, Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, so the board is going to revoke your community supervision at this time. We would suggest that you try to get whatever substance abuse programming, any type programming you can, between now and the time of your release. Also, we need a very good, solid plan of what you're going to do as far as mental health care. You'll have to get involved with somebody because when the doctor won't renew the prescriptions. So we do wish you best luck. We hope everything comes out all right with your baby. But we're going to have to stay till your planned release date. But this is what you're hearing, sir, and we'll continue the discussion. Will you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
She's not in the room at the time.
Okay, you just set the phone down and we will go see, come here now.
Mom, Karina, I love you guys.